Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR, America's Card Room, where for the rest of this month, you can participate in the online super series, the OSS, which is a $25 million guaranteed series. We've got lots and lots of tournaments for you to choose from, with buy-ins ranging from $3.30 all the way up to $2,650, and a wider selection of games, higher stakes, lower stakes. We've got more micro stakes tournaments than in any previous OSS. And we even offer PLO 5 now. So get on America's Card Room. If you haven't joined yet, click on the link in the description. Use the promo code TPE and you can receive a 100% first-time deposit bonus up to $2,000. Again, use the promo code TPE. My name is Clayton Fletcher and I'm in sunny Florida, seeing some people, doing some things, playing some cards. I hope I have some hands for you next week, as this weekend I'm playing in something called the Escalator Series at the Guitar Hotel, the Seminole Hard Rock in beautiful Hollywood, Florida. So the big news, I guess, that everyone knows by now is the WSOP schedule has been finalized and released to the general public. Every year around this time of year, we go over the schedule with a fine-tooth comb. And usually I have my partner in crime, Mr. Derek Killingbird Tenbush, involved with me for this traditional annual episode. But this time, he couldn't join up after all. He's got a lot going on, a lot of business ventures. You guys watch him on twitch.tv/Killingbird and you think, oh yeah, Clayton says he's the TPE head honcho and Clayton acts like this guy's something other than just a guy playing a little low stakes online poker on his laptop. No, no, no. Derek's a player, okay? He's got multiple businesses. He's in the alcohol industry, which as you can imagine is booming right now, and he's doing quite well. So he's a little too busy for me. So he said I had to do this one on my own. But guys, we are doing the TPE free roll on ACR this coming Sunday. So you can see our beloved Killingbird, and hopefully me too, there this Sunday, February the 19th. The free roll itself starts at 5 o'clock, but usually Derek logs on much earlier, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. This is Eastern Standard Time I'm talking about here in the States. And we're going to have a $1,000 free roll. Get your shot at a share of the $1,000 guaranteed prize pool for this free roll tournament. Limited to the first 300 players. That's why it's hard to say free roll 300. Yeah, there it is. I got it now. You guys join us, okay? Make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast, because sometimes what I like to do is sneak the password in on a special non-episode of the podcast so that maybe the people that we want to hear it first. So there's a little hint for you. Make sure you hit subscribe and keep your notifications turned on so that when that free roll is live and registration is open, you can be one of the first to join and you will hear the password on this podcast feed. All right, let's get into the plans for the summer. The World Series of Poker is starting May 30th and it's running until July 18th. There are over 100 bracelets given away this year between the online events and the live events. So it is a record number of bracelets. And speaking of records, the powers that be are absolutely bound and determined to break the record for the most players in the main event. They're doing satellites online on several websites. They are doing plenty of live satellites, especially in the month of May, under the theme of main event mania. Get it? Mania? So yeah, you can play probably at a casino near you to possibly win your seat into the WSOP main event, which is being held July 3rd through 17th. Now, they are not doing the single table satellite room this year. It's been confirmed. They've gotten rid of single table satellites. The whispers are that the reason for that is because they noticed that there had become a market, almost like a black market, for the Lammers that you could win by playing in those events. Now, I don't know what the big deal is. If something's worth $500 and I give my friend $500 for that thing. But yeah, they didn't like that. And maybe it's against Nevada gaming restrictions or something like that. As technically speaking, tournament Lammers have no cash value. Other whispers that were basically, apparently there were some teams of cheats getting together and maybe having signals similar to kind of the accusations we've seen on some of the live streamed. I don't know exactly what all was going on. All I know is that in my lifetime, I have made a fortune, a small fortune just in the single table satellite room. But, you know, to be fair, I mostly play like the around the $275 buy-in level. So maybe the cheats were at the 1K level. I don't know. I don't even know if that's what's going on, guys. But what I can tell you is they started off by having very, very low rake on those things. And then they took a little bit more. And then they took a little bit more. Until this year, they apparently decided to get rid of them altogether. But as I mentioned, there will be plenty of opportunities for you to qualify through Main Event Mania. Or, you know, they're still going to have the daily multi-table satellites that they always run at the WSOP. And especially as we get closer to the main event, I think that we'll see very big numbers for them. Now, the record that we're trying to break is 8,773 entries. Of course, that would be the 2006 main event, which was won by Jamie Gold, who collected a whopping $12 million out of the $82 million prize pool. So, wow, oh, wow, wouldn't that be amazing if we can beat that again this year? So let's go through the schedule, guys, and I'll try to give you a sense of what my plans are, what I think I'll be playing. Of course, we have to wait for other places like the Wynn and the Venetian to release their schedules as well before anything can really be finalized. But boy, oh boy, the day that schedule comes out is a very exciting day for me. I think a lot of us, we just look forward to the summer in Vegas all year round. And so I can't wait to get back out there. Even though we're just sitting here in February right now, I've already got a few rooms booked. I've got some plans made. I will be performing with the great Jim Jeffries at the Mirage. Yeah, right there in Vegas. If you are in Vegas on Friday or Saturday, June 2nd and 3rd, please consider coming out to see the show. I believe that it's just me and Jim up there doing our little comedy thing, and I think it will be a lot of fun. It's not going to keep me from playing in the event that's got me so excited to start this WSOP, which is what they're calling the Mystery Millions. It's a $1,000 buy-in, event number 3, with 4 starting flights, and I intend to play probably June 1st. So, because I'll be performing on the evenings of June 2nd and 3rd, I don't expect to be playing poker all day and then expect to get up on stage and give a great performance. But, since I can play on Thursday, and if I happen to make day 2, I won't have to play again until Sunday, the schedule lines up perfectly for me to get involved in this tournament. It's a $1,000 buy-in. It's a mystery bounty style tournament. And remember, the WSOP is where the idea of the mystery bounty was first presented, although it ended up not happening that year. It was with a COVID thing. We're not going to get into all that right now. Anyway, Wynn has taken it and turned it into what it is today. But this tournament is going to be exciting. If you make day 2, someone who collects a bounty on day 2 will win a guaranteed $1 million bounty prize. And this is a $1,000 buy-in tournament. And first prize in this tournament is guaranteed at $1 million as well. So theoretically, you could buy in for $1,000, bust somebody for a cool millie, and win the thing for a cool millie. Now, I'm not really saying that that's likely, because I think I'll get probably 20, maybe even 30,000 players for this thing over the 4 starting days. but it's going to be a wild time, a lot of fun. It's kind of a turbo format, 30-minute levels. It starts at 10 a.m. every day, and so that's another change that they made this year. They're going back to the 10 o'clock start time for most of these really big, like huge field type of tournaments. So keep that in mind. This is something they're doing this summer at the WSOP. A lot of the tournaments have a 10 a.m. start. So I will be playing in that thing for sure. I don't think Wild Horses could keep me from the Mystery Millions. There's also a 5K mixed no limit Hold'em and PLO tournament. That's on June 1st at 12 noon. And you're going to see this as well. The later tournaments are also going to be starting a little bit earlier this year. In previous years, it's been 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. They moved everything back to 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And then the tournaments that they expect to attract a moderate sized field, they're kind of putting those tournaments more at noon. All right. So then we've got the 25K Heads Up No Limit Hold'em Championship, which is on June 2nd, very early in the schedule. I've noticed they tried to front load a lot of high rollers towards the beginning. They want to get everybody out there early. They don't want us waiting around until July to get to Vegas. So they're doing some big stuff at the beginning. Saturday, June 3rd at 2 p.m. is the 10K Dealer's Choice 6 Max. They're doing a number of really low buy-ins, at least by World Series of Poker standards. $600 buy-ins. There's like a deep stack event on June 4th. That I might actually play. That could be fun. It's a $600 buy-in. There's a deep stack PLO the next day, June the 5th. Again, $600. They're doing something called the Gladiators, June 7th through 10th. This is a $300 tournament with four starting days. So it's a six-day tournament total. You can start playing that one for $300. It's a live tournament with a $3 million guaranteed prize pool. So that begins, that's event number 18. It begins Wednesday, June 7th. Again, 10 a.m. I think it's going to be just a madhouse. People that never thought they could afford to play for a bracelet are going to be jumping into this one. They're obviously expecting a huge field. It takes a lot of $300 buy-ins to equal $3 million. That'll be a madhouse for sure. I remember years ago when they started taking the minimum buy-in, and there was a lot of resistance about this. Back in the day, the minimum buy-in for a bracelet event was $1,500. And when the first year that they ever did a 1K buy-in for a bracelet, and people said, oh, you know, LOL, donkaments. And they called them donkaments. Well, if a 1K is a donkament, what's a $300 buy-in with multiple starting flights and unlimited re-entries? You know, this is, I guess we need to come up with a whole new word for it. But, you know, the World Series of Poker is doing a great job of trying to be all things to all people. And I don't say that tongue in cheek. I think it's great that they have, on the same day that you can play a $300 tournament, well, the very next day there's a 50K high roller, no limit hold'em. So the full spectrum for anybody, you know, for any bankroll, whatever you're playing with, as long as you got something in your pocket, you can find something to do in Vegas in the summertime. And there are so many of these low buy-in tournaments with potentially, you know, very large prize pools. The Deep Stack event on June 11th is $800, right? You've got a $600 No Limit Hold'em PLO mixed game on June 13th. I'm almost definitely going to play in that. I really love PLO. And last year, I even got to do a good amount of commentary for PokerGO and CBS Sports Network. Apparently, they would rather hear me talk about the four-card game than the two-card game. Yeah, looking at some other events, there's a Deep Stack Championship event on June 28th, which is $600. The Colossus returns June 30th for $400. And I remember when the Colossus was, wow, they're actually going to let you play for $500 in a bracelet event. And back then, many people thought that was blasphemy in itself. On June 14th, there's a 10K secret bounty. So let me tell you guys about this one. The secret bounty is different from the mystery bounty. This one's a $10,000 buy-in, so that's a pretty big difference. But also, it's a three-day tournament, and every player is a bounty. You just don't know how much your bounty is worth. But even if you bust somebody on day one, that's a big difference, guys. That player is worth something to you. Now, as you know, if you're playing a mystery bounty at the Win or the Mystery Millions event, whatever they're calling it this year, at the Horseshoe, this is different. You have to wait till day two for the bounties to mean anything. You don't collect anything for busting someone on day one of those tournaments. But for this one, the secret bounty, June 14th, everybody is worth something. We just don't know what that is ahead of time. So the weekend of June 16th, 17th is the Monster Stack. It's a $1,500 buy-in, and you get 50,000 starting chips, 60-minute levels. This one is Derek Killingbird Tenbush. This is his wheelhouse. He loves this tournament so much. So I imagine he will try to make it out for that one. It's a Nitty Player's Dream. If you like to fold all day, that's your tournament. The blinds aren't going up for quite a while. All right, so June 18th, Sunday, it's an $800 deep stack event. Same weekend as the 50K Poker Players Championship. So, yeah, we really have the full spectrum here. Other events I noticed, some of you might be interested. The seniors event is Wednesday, June 21st at 10 a.m., usually not a problem for seniors to wake up in time for a seniors event that starts at 10 a.m. They're already on lunch by then. That same day, June 21st, is a tournament that I might play myself. It's a one-day super turbo bounty, $1,500 buy-in. And I think every player is a $500 bounty. At the tag team event on June 22nd, I don't know if I'll play that one. I've never actually done it in Vegas. I did play in a tag team event in the Aussie Millions. My partner was Lee Jones, and we had the best time playing poker together all day. I'll never forget that. Shout out, by the way, to my old friend Lee Jones, still out here on these poker streets. Next, that same weekend, if you bust out of the tag team event, you can play the Millionaire Maker, one of my favorite tournaments, guys. It's a $1,500 buy-in with a $1 million guaranteed first place prize. So it's a lot of fun to know that you can turn a little bit of money into a whole lot of money, even if the chances of doing so are, let's be honest, pretty remote. But yeah, the Millionaire Maker is a great event, and that's one that I always look forward to playing very much, even if they make me sit 10-handed on day one. There's a charity event, June 25th. The $500 Salute to Warriors is back. Proceeds from this event are donated to the USO and other veteran organizations. There's a 25K PLO that same day at 12 o'clock noon. Let's see, Monday, June 26th, Event 59 is a 3K Freeze Out No Limit Hold'em tournament. I might play in that one. I feel like that's a perfect buy-in level. It's not so much that all you get are the David Peterses of the world, and also the fact that it's a freeze out, I think kind of levels the playing field a little bit. Let's be honest, if you have unlimited bankroll, you can keep re-entering some of these tournaments, and some would say that's unfair to the little guy who can only afford to buy in once. So if that's how you feel, play in the freeze out events. There are a bunch of them sprinkled in throughout the schedule. June 27th is the 1K Super Seniors. You got to be at least 60 to play that one, guys. I'm not ready for that yet. All right, how about you? June 27th, it's a mixed No Limit Hold'em PLO. There are more of these than ever on the schedule. I think a lot of us like to kind of mix it up a little bit. We enjoy the two main poker varietals, No Limit Hold'em and Pot Limit Omaha. You've got the ladies event, June 29th, 10 a.m., a 1K. Well, officially, it's a 10K buy-in. But if you are female, you get a $9,000 discount, a.k.a. the Sean Deeb rule. There's another Super Turbo Bounty on June 29th, a 50K PLO on June 30th. And on July 1st, a Saturday, there's a one-day event, a $10,000 Super Turbo Bounty, No Limit Hold'em, $10,000, $3,000 bounties per player. I might actually jump into that one, you guys. I know I'm not a favorite. When you get to that buy-in level, other than the main event, Most of the players that can afford $10,000 are better at no limit hold'em than I am. But I do have good bounty strategies and I have good bounty results in my career. And you know what? Who knows? With 20-minute levels and a super turbo format, you do end up flipping more than usual. So I might just gamble it up. Don't be surprised if I jump in to the super turbo bounty event number 72 on July 1st. That's a one-day event. You've got the mini main event the next day, Sunday, July 2nd. Warm you up for the main event. It's got the exact same structure as the main event, except instead of two-hour levels, we play 30 minutes. Of course, the main event starts on July 3rd. There are four starting days, again, A, B, C, and D, July 3rd through 6th. So, of course, we're all looking forward to that. And I wonder how many players they'll get. I think they might actually get 10,000 players this year. With the amount of effort they're putting into it, don't be surprised if it ends up attracting 10,000 players or more. It wouldn't surprise me at all. There's the Lucky Sevens. We love this one. $777 buy-in with a guaranteed first place prize of $777,777. That's hard to say. Getting into the end here, you got a bounty event, a PLO bounty event. Those are fun. That's also on the same day, Friday, July 7th. 25K horse on July 10th. Something called an ultra stack. Yeah, I always laugh because they run out of names. You know, how many words are there for big? This one's going to be a $600 ultra stack, and you can re-enter twice. For a $600 buy-in, you get 60,000 starting chips. So that is a lot. Of course, they got to move the blinds along pretty fast, but still, that's a good time. A short deck, they're doing short deck on July 12th, a $1,500 short deck tournament. And a 50K high roller, no limit hold'em on the same day, July 12th. The next day, I'm looking forward to the shootout, event number 85, $1,500 shootout. And later that same day, you can play in the Poker Hall of Fame Bounty, no limit hold'em tournament. This one, they did it last year. It's a great time. Every member of the Poker Hall of Fame is a bounty. And at least last year, it was the amount that would be equivalent to the year that you were inducted into the Poker Hall of Fame. So in every case, somewhere around $2,000 for the bounty, which is great because that means if you bust one Hall of Famer, you pretty much get your buy-in back, give or take a few dollars. They're bringing back the closer, a $1,500 buy-in with two starting flights and one re-entry allowed per flight. That one is the 14th and 15th of July. They're also bringing back the flip and go, the 1K flip and go. That is a silly, silly tournament. And I think putting it right near the end of the whole thing is a great idea. So that's on Friday, July 14th. If you really want to gamble, play the flip and go. There's a 3K horse on July 15th. And then down the home stretch, event number 92 on Sunday, July 16th, is a $1,000 freeze out. And if you're still there on the very last day of the series, you can play event number 95, a $1,000 super turbo, no limit hold'em, one-day tournament, which I guarantee people will not be playing their A game after 7 weeks of being in Vegas and all that comes with experiencing live poker in person for that much time and enduring all of that variance. So let's see how people play on July 18th after a long, long summer in Vegas. I, for one, am absolutely excited. I am pumped for the World Series of Poker. It's going to take a lot for the win and for the Venetian to compete with this schedule. I'm very excited about the WSOP schedule this year. I'm excited to play at the Horseshoe. They've put some money into the place. It looks nice. I was actually there when I was out in Vegas in December for the WPT Championship. I definitely stopped by and checked out what they're doing at the Horseshoe. They've got a new poker room there, and it seems like they got the air conditioning working, and everything's good. And I think that after the groundbreaking last year, the new venue and getting some of the kinks out. And also, if you think about it, The way the wind set the bar so high in December. I mean, that whole tournament series was absolutely first class all the way. And I think that a new standard has officially been set. And so what the players are going to be expecting is a cut above. And if they don't get it, they know that they can always go down the street to another venue. So I believe that Jack Effel and the gang will step up their game to answer the call. And I really hope I'm right about that, because I love these guys and I love the WSOP. It is something that I look forward to so much every year. And knowing that I get to start off this year with a couple of shows at the Mirage is just something that's really got me fired up. Okay, I'm fired up. I'm excited. Are you excited? What are you going to play? How long are you coming out? Tweet me at Clayton Comic. I want to know what your plans are for the World Series of Poker. Let's get the conversation started. Who's looking at the schedule like I am? Who's putting the budget together already? Who's making plans to be there? And what are you most excited to play this summer? I'm on Twitter at Clayton Comic, or you can hit me up in the Tournament Poker Edge Discord, for which there is a link in the description of this podcast. All right, let's do some strategy, guys. I have a hand for you. I've been playing quite a bit on ACR lately. I don't know if you guys have seen me at your table. My name on there is Clayton Comic, and you can see me in my trademark leather jacket, my little avatar, usually smiling. But if you really put a bad beat on me, there's a little, I can adjust my avatar so you can see smoke come out of my ears. It's a good time. You know, we try to have some fun while we're playing cards. Even if you're playing poker for a living, I think it's very important to enjoy it and have a sense of humor, you know, about life, about poker, about everything. All right, so let's talk about a hand that I played recently. This was a $55 tournament on there. It is a 6-max, not a PKO, just a regular old no limit hold'em 6-max tournament. And we have almost the chip lead. We're in third place with about 90 players left. And the money begins at 72. So we're about 18 off the bubble. People are starting to feel the bubble a little bit. So that might affect strategy somewhat in this hand. The blinds are 3,000, 6,000 with a 900 ante per player. So the starting pot is about 14K. We've got 500,000 in the stack, and the average is about 175. So we're looking good here, guys. We're doing great. We're approaching the bubble. We look like we're going to cash in this thing. The action folds to me in the small blind with the queen of spades, 10 of diamonds. Now, we've been talking a lot on the podcast recently about how to handle blind versus blind scenarios. I personally, unless I have a very short or a very deep stack, I like to just always limp in these spots. You know, my opponent in this situation has about 170,000. So he's right there, right around average. And I have some HUD stats, about 100 hands. He's 21-13, but with a 13% 3-bet. So that means that he likes to get aggressive before the flop, or at least he has in the 100-ish hands that he and I have played together. There haven't been any other instances of it just folding to me in the small blind in an unopened pot. So I don't really know how he's going to respond to my strategy, but with this type of stack depth, I decide to just go ahead and limp. That's my typical strategy. And now we talked about this before, but when you have this type of limping strategy, you also need to be fairly aggressive with your three bets. You can't just let people raise every time you complete and have that go unpunished. So if you just fold or call, unless you have a really big hand, they are going to print money by raising all of your limps. So I complete, I call for 3K more, and then sure enough, he does raise. He puts in 21,000 total, so 15,000 more to call. I'm getting better than 2-1 on a call. My question for you is, we know we're not folding, right? Like, I think folding here would be very, very tight. I mean, two Broadway cards, blind versus blind. I think the decision is between calling and shoving, or at least calling and making a committing sized 3-bet in this spot. So I decided to just call. I feel like this hand, plays well, heads up against a single opponent. You know, why not? Let's just see a flop and play it that way. I didn't really want to put in a third of my stack with Queen 10 because sometimes he's actually going to have a hand, right? I mean, I have him down as possibly a somewhat aggressive pre-flop player, but that doesn't mean he never wakes up with the nuts here. And we don't block Ace King. We don't block pocket kings, pocket aces. So I'd rather just call the raise and see the flop. So with 47,000-ish in the middle, that means that the effective SPR, our opponent's SPR, is about 3.3-ish. This guy has more than an outside chance of ending up all in at some point in this scenario. So the flop comes, king of diamonds, seven of diamonds, four of clubs. King 7-4 with two diamonds, and hero holds the queen of spades, 10 of diamonds. So I decide to check to the raiser, and he puts in 15,000 off of his 165,000 stack. And now you might be thinking, well, Clayton, you don't have anything. You know, you've got queen high on king 7-4. Like, what are we even thinking about here? This should be an easy check fold. I think checking and folding is absolutely fine in this scenario. I just decided to make a move here. I'm going to move my chips around. You guys know I like to be more aggressive on the bubble. And I feel like this hand has a lot of potential to turn into something, right? Any diamond gives me a 10 high flush draw on the turn. So if I make a play here and continue in this hand, there are a lot of cards that are going to help us on the turn that our opponent might not want to see, like a jack, which will give us an open ender, or a nine, or an ace that will give us a gut shot. And any diamond gives us a flush draw. So we've got some possibilities. So I check raise to 42,000. Now, obviously, if my opponent decides to move all in over top of this check raise, I don't mind. I can fold pretty comfortably and not worry about whatever equity I'm giving up now. I don't have that much equity now. I just feel like there are a lot of cards that will improve my hand a lot on future streets. And we don't have to go that big here. He said 15, I said 42, and my opponent called. So at this point, he's got about 125,000 left in his stack, and there's already about 132,000 in the middle. So opponent has about a pot-sized bet left. Now, guys, I wouldn't play this way in level one of a tournament. I don't really put the pedal to the metal with these creative moves. But look at this board. King 7-4. I don't have that many bluffs on a board like this. Like, do I even have 5-6 in my range for limp calling? I don't know. Maybe 5-6 suited or any two diamonds we can check raise with. I like to have a few more hands than that, because I tend to be aggressive with my value betting in heads up blind versus blind situations. So I've decided to get a little creative here. And really, what really makes me want to do this more than anything is the fact that I have a big stack on the bubble. And this guy starts the hand with an average stack. He should not feel obligated to play a big pot with me. He can easily fold his way to the min cash. He knows it, and I know it, and he knows that I know that he knows it. So that's what's going on here. There's a bit of gamesmanship around the bubble. It's just a huge part of my tournament strategy. And I'm not afraid to say this on the podcast, because some of you will literally sit with me this summer in the World Series of Poker and say, I know that Clayton is very likely abusing the bubble right now, but I'm still going to fold because I've studied ICM and I know I need to fold. I mean, we all know that's not going to stop you from doing the quote unquote right thing and folding to my aggression because you want to cash in the tournament. So I try to take advantage of that. I know that people take ICM concepts too far, and that sometimes I'll even be able to get this player to throw away a king in this situation. I mean, who doesn't want to go broke? Now that I get called on the flop, I'm hoping to pick up some equity on the turn, especially when my opponent has just under a pot-sized bet left. This puts me in position to put him to the test for all of his chips just a few spots away from the bubble. So let's go. Give me a card. The turn comes the Queen of Diamonds. Not only does that card give me a pair, it gives me a flush draw as well. I'm all in, and he folds. And on ACR, you can actually show what hand that you're folding. And he turned over two black nines. So reasonable. So he called my check raise on the flop, but it's just, you know, he's behind anyway on the turn. But I would have made this play with any diamond. And I don't know whether he would have found the hero call or not, like had it been the deuce of diamonds. But even in that case, when he does, if he's got those two nines, I still have all these outs, any queen, any 10, any diamond to beat him with. So you combine all of that actual equity, the pot equity that I have, along with the fold equity, and this play becomes immensely profitable. Let me know what you think. Again, I'm on Twitter at Clayton Comic. Look forward to seeing some of you Sunday in our TPE free roll. And with special thanks to our very generous sponsor, America's Card Room, for everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge. I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Luck and intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll get her heart, show her what I got. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll get her heart, show her what I got. Carry my, no, she can't read them, I hold the face. She's got to love nobody. Carry my, no, she can't read them, I hold the face. She's got to love nobody. Poker face, poker face. Poker face, poker face. I wanna roll with her, a hard pair we will be. While little gambling is fun when you're with me.
I love it.
Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, if it's not rough, it isn't fun, fun. Oh, whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa. I'll get a heart, show her what I got. Oh, whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa. I'll get a heart, show her what I got.
Love nobody.
Yeah.